Yes, indeed. Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason and Ireland. John, you know it's Yacht Rock Tuesday, too. I know it's baseball deadline or whatever the heck that
is. 1 hour left, Chris.
Oh, 1 hour. Clinton.
Oh, no.
T-minus 1 hour.
There's 1 hour left.
Somebody tell Mason. You know.
Oh, no. Mason, who's not here yet again.
Right.
But
oh, just got a text.
No. What did Mace have to say?
Nothing.
He's not going to be here tomorrow either?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
That comes later.
So, John.
No, Greg, that'll come at 10:30 tomorrow.
Right.
When you and I are driving
on your way to Irvine.
So that's
that's
where I was going. You get to see me today, which I know you're excited about. Tonight we'll be at the dinner together.
Yeah.
Then tomorrow you get even more of me. Not
you're,
live imaging,
you're
but
gonna
I'll
be
there.
The Rams camp tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm the backup tight end.
We're in my home stomping ground there.
You didn't even give me anything for that.
I give you a ding.
You got a ding.
I did get a ding.
There it is. So what do you do at Rams camp when you're out there, Morales?
I record.
Do you press flesh with the fans? How high is your Q rating in Irvine?
He collects drops. You know those great drops
those
hear
are
throughout
great.
The season?
Those are great.
Don't just produce themselves, Clint.
No, I know, but I'm saying how much do the fans love you specifically at Rams camp?
So Saturday, it was so hot to me at least.
Okay.
Did you get any Saturday or were they all too hot?
What do you mean?
Like, did you get any drops?
Yeah, I got a lot of drops.
Okay.
Not from players, from listeners.
Okay.
But there were a lot of people going, hey, Morales, Sedano, and Cap.
For people to know what a drop is, like, Jorge, find the Matt Stafford drop.
Yeah.
You know, so basically this is, and most guys will do this during training camp. Every once in a while you run into a guy like Westbrook.
Or Michael Brockers, who told me to F off.
Yeah, but.
Hi, this is Matt.
Wait, I get what a drop is.
Play it.
All right, stand by.
Hi, this is Matthew Stafford of your Los Angeles Rams. This is Mason and Ireland on your home of Rams football, 710 ESPN.
So those don't just happen out of thin air.
I get
Chris
it.
Chris creates them with his, he could sell ice to the Eskimos.
It's been a big summer, though, and there's an element of Rams camp that's sort of a back to school. We're back into the fall, and we've been out all summer pressing the flesh. I figured you might have come to a King's welcome in Irvine.
Something like, you know, I'm big in South OC, but also it is Kelly Stafford's birthday today. Wife
really?
Of the great Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
And she's a fun social media
hang.
Follow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
She could be there tomorrow? I'd love a drop from Kelly Stafford.
She may be there. Usually if Matthew, as she called, remember Matthew, not Matt.
Yeah, she doesn't like Matt.
If Matthew's there, she'll be there with the kids. Meanwhile, Mason and Ireland continues your Tuesday right now.
Bergman, you're going to let us actually talk to some Rams, right? You're not going to extend your no-guest policy to Rams training camp, are you?
You are allowed to talk to any athlete.
Yeah, right, the no-guest policy is a no-phoner policy, right?
Well, for the most part, it's not even a policy. It's more so just tell me who you want on and why they make sense, and then they can come on.
I screwed something up, Greg. I could have played a really good practice. A joke, but I wasn't thinking.
Oh,
I gotta
tell me what it is now.
It would have involved Michael. I got a text from Michael this morning saying, "Hey, I'll be in tomorrow to do Game of Games," and I immediately texted him back, "We'll be at Rams camp, don't come in." So he's going to come in next week. But how great would it have
been? Why did he come Thursday?
Well, I offered it to him. He said no. He said he can't. He can't do it. Any
Wednesday is the only day for Michael
for this week. Yeah, but I'm sure, Greg. I'm sure we'll see him at the dinner tonight, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is he coming? Michael's going to be here?
Come on,
no,
man.
But what does Michael show up to?
I was
going to
say,
not
I can't
5
think
feet
of
from
the,
his house.
Yeah. Oh, right, or at crypto or whatever. Yeah.
Right. So,
That would have been really good.
We
could
have. He would have walked in here and no one would have been
hilarious.
Here.
What? That would have been hilarious.
Okay. So, a couple of things I want to knock out here with you guys. Number one, did you guys see that Uber yesterday announced Uber X Share? Okay, this is a new tier of Uber.
How is it new?
This isn't new.
No, hold on. Before, you could always ride share on Uber, but not if you ordered an Uber X. Uber X was the lowest priced, smallest cars, blah blah blah. Now, Uber X Share, you can travel, you can ride for 20% less if you agree to let the guy stop and pick up a stranger.
Okay.
Is that worth it to you?
Maybe, but I can tell you don't ride a lot of Ubers because that's no different than it used to be. Like, at this point, Greg, do you even know the difference between X and regular Uber?
No, is there a difference?
I don't know. I think,
do you always order X?
I mean, I think X is the lowest it goes to now. Like,
yeah.
I don't think
I never order X.
I think that's
I would have thought it was the higher tier.
I think that's a return to the
Uber
regular.
Black
Uber
is
Black
is the highest tier.
Okay.
Well,
and
Uber Black
what I order, what I always order is Uber XL.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be picked up in a smart car. All right.
I don't think anyone's picking you up in a smart car.
Well, but you make yourself available to whatever cars are
sure.
out there.
You don't want Keyshawn in the Prius pulling up on
no.
you so he can take you home?
Hey,
no,
hey, but I drove Uber and I drove in the Prius.
Yeah, look.
And I picked up multiple people in the car with the shared and shared.
I'll tell you this. I could have used an Uber out of the Rose Bowl yesterday.
But I don't
Saturday.
Even think they have an Uber lot.
Again, this is my point. So I was ready to give somebody $100 just to get me back to where I live. Some rando on the street. I would probably, if I was up for it, let somebody get in the car for, what does he say, 20% discount? That's not bad. If it doesn't take two, the issue with getting people in and out of the car is never really the money, Greg.
No.
It's the time it takes to get from where
it's
you're going and the stopping and the going. That's the issue. Bro, I walked 2 miles just to
cardio.
Prevent myself.
Good thing.
It was a good thing.
Yeah.
A lot of hiking.
So we weren't here yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to respond to the news that broke about Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. He's been suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy.
No fine.
No fine. This was the number of games for the suspension was determined by disciplinary officer Sue Robinson, and she announced it Monday in a 16-page report. Clinton, let me just start here.
Mm-hmm.
Just right, too little, too much. How do you feel about 6 games?
Didn't really make a lot of sense to me, and I'll explain why. I talked about this on Around the Horn yesterday because this was our entire A block. Very rare situation for those of you who don't know how the TV business works. We'll go behind the curtain. Normally, you have an A1, A2,
I'm surprised
A3.
It wasn't the whole show.
It was the entire A block. If Bill Russell hadn't passed, it might have been.
We're getting to that,
so,
too.
So, a whole A block, we do this. And I read the report. I mean, you know, I don't know if you read all 16 pages, but the judge offered – here's why it didn't make sense to me, John. The judge offered an explanation that, to me, it felt like it was coming from a caveman. It said – and I mean that in terms of mentality – it said that the reason she didn't feel that he needed more than the maximum that had already been given to that point for what it was because it was non-violent sexual assault. And I said this, and I'll say this again. When it comes to sexual violence, the fulcrum is consent, not physicality. Mind you, physicality was still involved. And so... the ruling,
yeah, how is it not, how is it nonviolent?
Exactly. And that's where I was like, whoa, this is a judge who has an outlook on sexual violence that sounds like it's from the 60s. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, well, if you didn't get beat over the head and dragged into a bush, then it doesn't really count. And that kind of mindset that we've gotten way past. And for a woman like Sue Robinson to use that as a reason to only give him 6 games, it wasn't just the number, John. It was the explanation to me that felt like an insult to my intelligence.
I think you've completely hit the nail on the head to piggyback on your point. In relying on precedent, okay, so Sue Robinson relied on precedent. She sought to differentiate between violent and nonviolent sexual conduct.
That's not a thing.
Okay, to your point, what determines violent and nonviolent is one word, and you said it, consent.
Yes.
If you do not consent to any sexual act from me, and I do it anyway, by definition, it's violent.
Thank you.
I've invaded your personal space in the most private of ways. And so she said, because it was a nonviolent sexual act, she compared it to Ben Roethlisberger, who got 6 games, who Ben Roethlisberger got drunk, and there was a drunk girl in a bathroom,
yeah,
and they got it on, and
right,
she later said, I didn't consent, and so they gave him 6 games. So she said, Sue Robinson said, and I was really, like, stunned by this. She said, it was a first-time offense.
We're Clinton, not talking about shoplifting here.
No, but Clinton, there were 30 women.
Yeah.
All right, how is it a first-time offense if you do it once and then do it 29 more times to other people?
The whole setup of using precedent, John, as you mentioned, is the issue. Because the precedent sucks. That's why the NFL is what it is. And that none of this was set up in a way that I think was designed to do anything other than limit the possibility of punishment for Deshaun Watson. It seems clear. The number of cases that the judge was allowed to view was only 5, one of which ended up getting thrown out, so it was 4. So technically, she wasn't even allowed to review the other cases for whatever reason.
Okay, so let's take that for him. It's still, if it's 4.
No, I know.
If it's 4, how is that a first-time
event? I'm not even arguing procedurally. Yeah. I'm just saying the entire thing was set up in a way that was designed to minimize hurt for Deshaun Watson and therefore the league. And, like, to me, I think the NFL, and I'm not sure this is going to happen, but they've still got today and tomorrow to appeal this, because technically the ruling of the judge is only a suggestion. Well, not only a suggestion, but it's something that if either side wanted to appeal that they could.
Right, let me ask you
the
about
The NFLPA
that.
Won't appeal that.
Okay, they won't. You're right. And the NFL has to decide, as you mentioned, in the next 48 hours whether or not they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've put themselves in a box.
Yeah.
Because they've created this domestic violence policy in which they say we'll have a neutral arbitrator, in this case Sue Robinson, a judge.
Former judge, yeah.
Determine what an appropriate punishment should be. And if Roger Goodell comes out later today and says, we're going to tack on 10 more games and make it a year,
mm-hmm.
I think this immediately goes to court. And if it goes to court, Clinton,
mm-hmm.
he's going to get a stay and be on the field week 1 against Carolina. Now, if they stretch it to 10 games or 12 games, would the NFLPA fight that?
I think
probably,
maybe.
But maybe they can get away with that. And if Roger Goodell comes out today and says, yeah, we disagree with Sue Robinson, I'm judge, jury, and executioner, doesn't that spit in the face of the whole thing that was collectively bargained? Why is Sue Robinson there if they're going to ignore her recommendation?
Well, because
what do you think happens next?
I think they're going to appeal it, and I think it's going to get to 10 games, is what I think. I think they're going to say, listen, 6 just doesn't sit right with us. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't pass the eyeball test, I think, as you would say, John. And I think that you get to 10 games. But I do think, to your point, if this is how things are going to be adjudicated, they've got to figure something else out. Because you can't have, I'm sorry, I'm still hung up on the judgment, again, of non-violent sexual assault. You can't have people who think like people from 40 years ago judging based on precedent what we should be doing now. This is a good reason, in my personal opinion, to basically take a look at what the CBA actually is. You know what I mean? At some point, you have to start somewhere if you're even going to act like you care about defending women in this country. Like, it's one thing if you're just going to say, hey, ignore everything, but the NFL is out there. The NFL, believes itself to be a progressive on some level league. They actively court, the female fans, as they should, but act as if they're on the right side of history. You can't do both in this situation. This is as good as opportunity as any. And I can't believe I'm sort of defending Roger Goodell here, but I think on some level, he's got a chance to clear his conscience a little bit. And you've got to at least say something, because it doesn't feel right. 6 games doesn't make sense.
I agree with you. And, here's something I haven't heard anybody say. We're all debating whether or not 6 games is too light or too little. You and I both think it's too little.
I think it's too light, yeah.
How come nobody's talking about whether or not Deshaun Watson has a serious mental problem? Because, Clinton, think about it. He's on top of the world as an NFL player. He's as good as anybody playing his position. He goes, Jenny Ventus wrote that one story that said 68 different women gave him massages, and he acted inappropriately with the majority of them. If he's willing to do that, if he's willing to put his career on the line and not even think twice about it and do it repeatedly, do it 30 times. Are we sure this guy's right in the head?
I think if you want to consider ego a mental problem, well, then there's a lot of people you're going to have lining up to get treatment.
Glib here, isn't this what got Harvey Weinstein thrown in jail?
No, not remotely. Harvey Weinstein was ruining people's careers and destroying them psychologically to the point that they couldn't even do anything. I'm not saying it's not the same thing, but here's what my point is that.
But couldn't I, before you move on past that, I'm just thinking about these 30 women.
I get that.
Couldn't we say that to a degree that happened to them?
Their careers are ruined
the psyches of them are permanently damaged?
Yes, but they don't work in the same business. So it's a little different. That's what I'm saying. Deshaun Watson doesn't write anybody's checks. You know what I mean? That's what I'm getting at. But I do think there is something to be said. Man, I remember the first time I thought about this, I was like, okay, so this guy either frankly, to get into it, doesn't understand what sex workers are. You know what I mean? Because
right.
you can pay for this. This is an available thing. You're not asking for something that's illegal. You're asking for something that is simply untoward in some people's minds. But that doesn't make it wrong.
Right.
And I think that there's something here that is, and I don't want to speculate, but if you're the big man on campus, in the NFL, in your city, and there's certain things you like to do, I guarantee you that the apparatus of the NFL in terms of the egos it feeds makes him feel that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I don't think that he thought, John, he was putting his career at risk. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
because
how?
Of exactly what we just saw. He didn't. Hello, in very many ways, he's gotten away with this. The Browns gave him $230 million.
Most guaranteed money of any
player
ever. Knowing
full well what had happened. His own team was providing NDAs for him to show up with to these functions. I don't think he has a mental problem. He's been aided and abetted for his behavior effectively his entire NFL career. You know what I'm saying? That's as much on the levers of the league as they are on any one guy. And I think that's what we've learned throughout the course of this entire trial is that the league will protect its own if they feel that what they do doesn't overall harm the bottom line. And this is another situation. You see guys cheering him on at Rams. I mean, got me Rams camp in my head, at Browns camp. It's just, you know, it's a sad state of affairs on where we are in America in terms of the rights of women and how we respect women across the country.
Okay, coming up, you mentioned that you were called in yesterday to talk about Bill Russell.
Yep.
Bill Russell did something that is incredibly difficult to do. There is no one who's identified with the Celtics more than Bill Russell.
Correct.
Yet Laker fans didn't boo him and respected the hell of him. How did he do that? We'll get into that next. Clinton Yates in for Mace. The baseball trade deadline is over in 47 minutes. We're keeping an eye on everything. And right now, the Dodgers have only made one move. And they picked up Joey Gallo from the Yankees. Joey Gallo's been terrible this year. Let's see if they have anything else up their sleeve in these last 45 minutes or so. Clinton in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There you go, John. Yacht Rock on a live
Turn up this
Tuesday.
Yacht Rock.
What?
Excellent choice.
Yeah. Mason and Ireland. So you mentioned UberX. Did you know now? This came up the other evening.
Oh, wait. I'm glad you brought that up because we got some help from Cisco.
What up, Cisco? What up, fool?
What up, fool?
What's up, fool?
Uber Share, Chris, is Uber Pool with the limit of one rider instead of two. It's been running in L.A. for a couple of months. Uber Pool was not running during the pandemic.
Okay.
So it's the return of ride sharing for
so
Uber.
So I was in Seal Beach the other night. And it popped up that you can, like, rent the car now.
Yeah.
For your ride home.
You can do that.
Did you know about that?
And
John?
Drive it.
So you drive it home.
I do know
But
this.
Where does the person who delivers the car go?
I don't know.
They don't have to come with you.
I don't know that. Apparently. I thought you have to pick up the rental.
Yeah,
like,
that's
you
a good
go
question.
To the rental. Like, the cars are just on
but
the
But if I'm
street.
Too intoxicated to drive it anyway, and that's why I'm getting an Uber.
Well, but by the way, Chris.
You shouldn't be allowed to drive it.
I want to compliment you on something that you do, and I want to encourage others to do it. Chris likes to have a cocktail, so do I. You always Uber when you drink.
Yes.
Which I think is such an easy thing to do, but for whatever reason, nobody does it. You do it consistently.
You have to.
And it's very easy to do. It's not expensive. You never have to worry about anything. If you're going to cocktail, you always Uber. More people should do that.
And I live far away from most things in L.A., but it's still worth the money. If you can't afford the Uber home, don't go.
Don't be out drinking. Right.
It's absolutely
because
true. It's much cheaper than hurting somebody or, of course, getting a DUI. So.
Right. Yes.
All right. On that note, Mason and Ireland continues
for you,
Tuesday
Chris.
Right now.
Keep it up. Yeah, you're leading by example.
Somebody
there.
I know left a phone in an Uber this weekend, Chris. I'll tell you about that later. It wasn't me.
Was it Chris?
No, it was my date. It's another story.
Okay. This date's a mess. She got there at halftime. She left her phone in the Uber.
Yeah.
And you're going to go out with her again. Good for
Maybe.
You.
We'll see. But
all right. You mentioned that you got called in over the weekend to talk about Bill Russell. I got to interview Bill Russell twice, and the thing that will stay with me forever, Clint, mm-hmm. is the laugh.
Yeah.
He had this infectious, loud, like...
old man laugh.
Yeah, yeah. That was just awesome, and he laughed a lot. And
let me ask you this. What years were this?
Much yeah. old, like okay. late in his life.
Okay.
And the one thing that he was able to accomplish is... like, for example, we always give Cedric Maxwell, Michael, Worthy, me, like, the hardest time possible because he's a pain in the ass and he's the Celtics radio announcer and we give him a hard time.
Cedric's funny.
Yeah. And every, like, he walks in, Laker fans start to boo him. He says, bring it on,
right.
you know, blah, blah, blah. But Bill Russell would walk in and everybody would go, ooh, there's Bill Russell. And they'd start cheering. They start applauding everywhere he went. He was so good, Clinton, as a basketball player and as a leader, that he won the respect of his most hated rivals. There was an event towards the end of his life within the last couple of years where Genie had a private event to celebrate the history of the Lakers-Celtics rivalry. That's the game where Bill Russell came dressed in Kobe's jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing some TV work then. And you watch the room and the way people would come to him to kiss the ring, for lack of a better
basically,
term.
Basically, yeah.
And I've never seen another – like if it was Red Auerbach, no. If it was Larry Bird, no. Kevin McHale, no. Parrish, no. One guy. One guy solicited that type of response. Why, do you think?
Bill Russell was bigger than the Celtics, period. I mean, and I know that a lot of Lakers fans get all kind of caught up about that idea, but Bill Russell was a civil rights leader, legit, in his own right. It almost had nothing to do with basketball on a certain level. And I think that Bill Russell also, unlike a lot of these other guys, was cool. I mean, like, you know what I mean? That just from a simple comportment standpoint, there was nothing about him outside of the fact that he played for the Celtics that people didn't like. And Bill didn't even like Boston, John. He
yeah.
said very
well,
famously,
they weren't very nice to him.
I play for the Celtics. I don't play for Boston. Bill Russell was all of these things you see about, like, activism and voices for players. That all kind of started with Bill in the non-Jackie regard. Jackie kind of had to do it, and he had to do it a sort of different way. Bill Russell didn't have to do that. Bill Russell was just a basketball player who dominated on the court and decided he wasn't going to take any crap as a black man in America. That was respectable on a lot more levels than just what the jersey you were wearing was on the, you know, or the what it said on the front of the back. I think that Bill Russell also, one of the fascinating things about Bill is that he was one of the few players of his generation that throughout the years, other players really liked too. All the players you would see would be like, yo, just like the fans would, shouting out to Bill Russell. And he was never a guy that was like, oh, back in my day this, back in my day that. He embraced the new generations of the game. You talked about him wearing the Kobe jersey and stuff.
Right.
Bill Russell was cool. I think that was evident. I think that was obvious. And I'm glad that the NBA managed to kind of get it together in these last years of his life that he, you know, had, and kind of put him back to the forefront of where he should be. Because a lot of people like to argue about Rings Mountain. And who's got this? Who's got? Ain't nobody got more rings than Bill Russell, literally. You know what I'm saying? So that discussion is over. Whether you not want to call him the greatest of all time is a different discussion, but as a human being on Earth, that guy's magnetism was unparalleled. And I really think that yesterday was the kind of day that you get when a guy has gotten his flowers already, but you still want to pay the necessary homage. I thought it was as good of a celebration of life as I've seen in a long time for a great who died.
I retweeted this over the weekend, but I think if there's a more impressive sports stat than this, I don't know what it is.
Is it the Bob Ryan stat?
Russell played 21 winner-take-all games in his career, NBA, Olympics, NCAA tournament. Clinton, he was 21-0.
Yeah, that is the Bob Ryan stat.
10 of those 21 games were NBA Game 7s. Listen to this.
Yeah.
In those Game 7s, he played 488 of 495 minutes. Right? 488 of 495 and averaged 29 rebounds a game. I mean, John Wooden's Pyramid of Success, be at your best when your best is needed. Isn't that like the classic example of it?
The funny thing is that of those rebound averages, that was before blocks were even a thing.
I know.
So most of those are probably, you know, a good part of them were probably blocks. My biggest, the wildest stat to me, and this isn't really comparable, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying. Bill Russell was like 6'9". It's not like Bill Russell was 7'5". You know what I'm saying? He was just that good. 6'9", 6'10", guy. People think of him as some towering sort of person because comparatively then, but like the athleticism of Bill Russell, I think will always get downplayed. He was a high jumper at one point in his career in high school. And in my mind, I remember thinking, oh, wait, he wasn't actually that big, but he learned to play the game, to play around bigs, and it's completely revolutionized how NBA basketball sort of developed. And I just, it's really hard to say anything bad about the guy in the context of even the people he influenced turned out to be well. People forget, John Thompson Jr., longtime head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, played backup to Bill Russell. He was a backup for him for 2 years. And he used to always say that Bill taught him a million things. Bill's identity as a black man was a big part of who he was. His toughness as a basketball player was a big part of who he was. And his general devotion as an athlete was a large part of it. You see John Thompson obviously turns around and makes, you know, one of the best programs in the history of college basketball. And I don't know that retiring his number is necessarily something I care about, but I think he would be as much up for the honor as anybody when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2017 from President Obama. I can't think of anyone more that crossed over. I mean, Laker fans hate the Celtics. They just hate him. Jerry West told me once that he owns nothing green. Literally. Doesn't have a green shirt. Doesn't have a green tie. Yet, if you ask Jerry about Bill Russell, I saw Jerry doing a bunch of interviews yesterday, nothing but reverence. Bill Russell was a once-in-a-lifetime individual and made it to 88 years old and has the respect of every fan from every team in the whole league. You think anybody else will ever win 11 titles as the best player on their team?
No.
Yeah, probably not in our lifetime, right?
No, not even close. I mean, because there's just too many teams, you know, like, not to get too far into league, I mean, rather, era comparisons, but I just don't think that's possible. However, don't think that that means that I don't think that what happened was impressive. Ain't nobody else got 11 rings, you know what I mean?
Right.
So what are we talking about here? It's an unbelievable life, unbelievable career.
All right, coming up next, we're going to lighten it up around here. There is a walrus in Norway that is a problem, and I'm just not sure how to solve it. We'll explain coming up. Bergman's going to jump in here with Bobcat before the end of the hour. And we are watching the Major League Baseball trade deadline. 35 minutes. The big bombs have already gone off. Juan Soto and Josh Bell both going to the Padres. The Dodgers made one very small move. Joey Gallo from the Yankees has really struggled this year, has been picked up by LA. I don't know whether or not Gallo is going to be placed right away on the 25-man roster. But if he is, somebody's got to go down. And I'm hoping it's not James Altman. I'm hoping it's not Clay Thompson. I'm not sure who's going down, but we'll keep an eye on that too. Mason in Ireland. Clinton Yates in for Mace. ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. More of that Yacht Rock, John Ireland. Who is this singing?
Oh, I know who this is.
John, our whole friendship is on the line right now.
It's going to drive me crazy when you tell me this.
They also had a song, Sharing the Night Together.
Is this Dr. Hook?
It is Dr. Hook.
Wow.
Yeah.
Deep pool.
That's good Yacht Rock knowledge, which you get on a Live Imaging Tuesday. Now, I was going to tell the story about your girlfriend leaving the phone in the
she's
Uber.
She's not my girlfriend.
She's your girlfriend.
No,
but
she's...
you've got Dodgers breaking news, so why don't you go ahead and do it?
Okay, so we now know where Joey Gallo is going.
Yes.
Jake Lamb traded to Seattle for cash.
Oh, okay.
So, Greg, I don't love that. Do you?
I really like Jake Lamb, actually. I was really excited when they got him this year, and he's been great since he's come up.
He's a big leaguer.
Yeah, he is a big leaguer. And so now this is just a move for Gallo, which I don't really...
Gallo's
a better defender than Jake Lamb.
Quick sidebar on this. If I'm Luke Voit, the next time I see Eric Hosmer, we're scrapping on sight. Because that dude rejected the Nationals, and Voit gets thrown in as a result. And Hosmer ends up in Boston. You know how mad I'd be, Greg, if some guy with a random no-trade clause made me leave the tag-on team that was actually contending. Oh, I'd be furious.
What, you mean that the Nationals aren't going to contend for a little bit?
Of course not. That's the whole point. But I'm saying, like, that I would be so – I mean, legitimately, that's a fighting situation.
The Nationals have now lost over, the last couple of years, Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, Max Scherzer, and Juan Soto. I'm just saying, like, that's four massive names that they just traded.
That's a whole wing of the Hall of Fame.
It's like Marlins.
I need Crypto.com to set up the celebrity fight. I don't need former NFLers, Adrian Peterson, whoever he was going to fight. I need Eric Hosmer versus Luke Voit right now. Fist fight. John, how terrible would that be if he got traded just because some other guy didn't want to go some other place?
Well, but he earned it, right? He was a 10-5 guy, so he had the right to turn the trade down.
That stinks, bro. He had that ridiculous contract. Anyway,
That's a
good reason not to like somebody. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, boy, I'm not sure that Joey Gallo is better than Jake Lamb, Bergman.
Yeah, I don't know if he is. I mean, offensively, I don't think so, but defensively, Gallo is the better defender. It also depends on whether or not you can move Jake Lamb down. I don't know if he's out of options to go back down to AAA.
The DFA situation is...
Right, so yeah, if you do that, then you're just going to lose him for nothing, so you might as well get some cash for him, because they traded for Gallo for him to be on the roster.
You're not sending Gallo to Oklahoma.
No, exactly, and they're both left-handed bats.
Well, we still have 28 minutes. Let's see if anything else is going to happen. But it'd be unlikely, wouldn't it?
No, things happen all the way down to the wire, and then they even go in a little bit past.
Okay, well, while we're waiting for that to break, let me tell you about something that's going on in Norway. Okay.
Norway news?
Norway news. There is a walrus named Freya, F-R-E-Y-A.
Okay.
All right. Freya is 1,300 pounds.
Okay.
So
offensive line.
In Oslo, in Norway, Freya is bouncing around all these boats that are docked. Okay.
Oh.
Have you seen this?
No, I have not. I was wondering where Freya was going to enter normal people's lives.
Take this, and you can scroll up and down and kind of read it. She's so heavy that she's jumping up on boats just to try and sunbathe, and it is sinking all the boats. She's too heavy. So she'll swim up to a boat and plop on there, and then the boat
will capsize.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what do you do? All right.
Get Freya her own boat. I got to say this. Some intrepid mind out there, Ireland, has to be able to build Freya their own, little dock.
Yeah, but in the meantime, she's
terrorizing the
right.
marina. That's what I would do. Now, I don't know how to build boats. I also have no idea how water technology works. But if I am the local tourism board of Oslo or the, I don't know, Norway Corps of Engineers, whoever handles this part, that's what I'm doing. I feel like this would be a bigger problem than just one walrus, though. How has this not been an issue before?
Because I don't think there's ever been a walrus this big. Bergman, your choices are just let Freya continue to jump on boats and wreck them. You could capture her. I don't know how. She's 1,300 pounds.
That's a big one.
And haul her way out to sea, but I don't know if that's safe.
No.
You could put her in SeaWorld, which I think is kind of mean.
It is very.
You don't want to shoot her, right?
No.
All the PETA people will go crazy.
PETA people to go crazy. Right. I'm sure the local Oslo residents.
Do you just let her be, Clinton? and let her continue to destroy. What's your answer as what we do today?
Build her a boat.
Wait a minute. That takes time.
So, again,
how many boats are going to get ruined while you're building this ark, Noah?
Build them out of the boats that have been ruined. Recycle them.
How quickly do you think that can happen?
You ever been to Norway? They get stuff done pretty quickly up there.
The Oslovians will be able to do it in no time at all.
You two are idiots. That would take weeks.
I'll bet you there's some guy that's got a boat for a walrus already that they haven't sanctioned.
That'll handle a 1,300-pound walrus.
How big does the boat have to be to handle 1,300 pounds?
Big.
How big?
Like a Mickey Arison Carnival Cruise Line big.
Like bigger than a boat you might buy? Probably so. But I think you build it. You call it the walrus. You've got a built-in name for the boat.
I love this.
What are you doing in the meantime while you're building it?
Just, I don't know. Let her wreck the boats. I mean,
what do you mean let her wreck the boats?
I saw the boat. It's a tiny boat.
Looked at one boat. She's wiping out three to four boats a day.
Wow, that's a serious OPS.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. All right, so here's
what do you think a walrus sounds like? Can you do a walrus? Sound?
Now here's the I'm gonna tell you
what, Glenn.
I was gonna say something terrible, but
was that any good?
I don't know.
I don't know. Let's see what the real walrus sounds like.
Okay. Do we have any idea what a real walrus sounds like?
Oh, I was way off.
Try it again.
I was way off. All right, so here's some answers.
Also, hold on. No. Also, you have misidentified Freya's general countenance. Freya's all up and down Europe, Denmark, Germany, the Netherlands, UK. Freya's getting around.
Okay.
All right, this
Maybe
is a
pirate ship.
Continental now, problem, not just for the Oslovians that Craig mentioned.
So here now, the government is issuing statements about Freya because she's doing so much
damage. Because
Freya
doesn't have her own PR team.
Yeah. Despite the material damage Freya has caused so far, as a protected species in Norway, euthanasia is out of the question, the director of fisheries said in a statement on Tuesday.
So Freya's smart. She's staying out of the
Although
the hot
not
zones.
Ruling out relocating her if the situation worsens, the director is encouraging Norwegians to be considerate and keep their distance.
I
think they're going to let Freya just run wild.
Of course, you should. Everybody, you know, you're lowering the carbon footprint. You don't need all these boats. What are people doing on these boats anyway? Probably out there messing up with her habitat. That's why she's there to begin with. I say let Freya wreck all the boats possible until she goes away.
You're not very cost conscious there, my friend.
I'm not cost conscious for people who have luxury items they don't necessarily need. You don't need boats. What are you people doing in those boats? You're going out there, you're throwing your little fishing lines in, you're coming back and taking pictures for Instagram, and meanwhile, Freya's got no home. So she's wrecking your boat so she's got a place to live. That's how it works. It's like a bear coming down out of the woods
to
eat the picnic basket.
The hope is that Freya will eventually return to the Arctic Sea and settle down. As climate change causes ice cover in the Arctic to melt, more walruses are hunting on land.
Thank you.
Creating competition for food that may explain why Freya has traveled so far.
This is what I'm saying. Habitat's destroyed.
Walruses can eat thousands of oysters in one meal, so if Freya has developed a taste for them, her culinary tour could prove environmentally helpful.
You see? I told you. Let Freya eat. This is what we're doing. You people don't need boats. I've seen the marinas. Those boats are stacked up like sardines. It's ridiculous.
A 2018 count found that efforts to protect the walrus had been successful with a growing population of around 5,500 living on land compared to just 100 in 1980. So the walrus is back.
Yeah.
Freya may have friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gang.
Yeah. I don't know what the easy answer is there, but I think your idea of just let Freya destroy boats is not the smartest way to go.
Because you know people who have boats. That's why.
That's right.
I don't know anybody who has a boat.
I grew up as a boat kid.
I don't have any boat connections.
All right. Speaking of a guy who has no boat connections, Bergman will be along next.
Yeah.
He has Bobcat. He'll throw a bunch of stuff at us. And the trade deadline now has 21 minutes left.
Okay.
21 minutes.
Let's get Mason update. You're listening.
The Dodgers have basically acquired Joey Gallo, and that's it. A couple of other minor leaguers, but that's it. We'll keep an eye on the last 21 minutes. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda.
Hey, you're
all
supposed
right.
To growl. So, you're supposed to, remember? You're supposed to do that moving forward.
What am I supposed to do?
You're
a bobcat?
The
rawr.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Bobcat. Rawr. So the dude. Dude Perfect is a bunch
Hold on. Do bobcats roar?
I don't
know. Do we even know that?
They do now, apparently.
This is what you guys told me to do last week. Thank you for reminding me, Jorge. Otherwise, yeah. I would have forgotten on purpose. So Dude Perfect is a Dude Perfect is a bunch of YouTubers that make trick shots. I'm pretty sure it's all edited, but I haven't put in the time to really figure it out.
Oh, you're a truther on Dude Perfect?
No, I mean, look. There's no way they're making some of these shots, let's be honest. Well, they are going to be doing a side broadcast on Thursday Night Football for Amazon Prime. I get the reaching of the younger crowd part of all this, but why do you think they are doing this, and will you watch, John?
I won't watch, but I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to bring people into the tent that wouldn't normally Clinton otherwise come in, so they're trying to tap into Dude Perfect's audience, which makes perfect sense to me.
Who is the Dude Perfect audience?
Kids. Young.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I mean, Nickelodeon crowd.
Yeah, teenagers.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, but what I'm saying is that, like, they're not watching... They're watching Dude Perfect do Dude Perfect stuff. Like, that's a totally different attention span of things. Like, are they going to be doing trick shots during the game? Like, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
Maybe.
What does Dude Perfect have to offer in another setting that is actually going to translate is my question. There's no way I watch this.
I have no idea. I don't understand it in the slightest, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's one thing to have the Manning brothers.
Cups.
It's like, yeah, it's one thing to have the Manning brothers up there ragging on each other because they had two illustrious careers in the NFL. A bunch of guys from Jacksonville or whatever. No shots to Jacksonville. I don't even know that they're from there. Like, I don't get this. This doesn't. They're not big enough to me to cross over into what makes sense for this, in my opinion.
So you're out on it, John?
Yeah, but that just because I'm not a Dude Perfect guy, but I right. understand why they would do it. It's like, you know, Noah Eagle, who does a great job calling the Clipper games on the radio. Noah does that thing for NFL games, the Nickelodeon game with the slime
sure.
and the thing. And you know, I would never watch it, but I get why they're doing it. They're doing it to get little kids to watch football.
Sure, it was actually kind of fun, though.
Yeah, but he did it with fun. Nate, who was a football player. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a sensible tie there for me.
Bobcat.
All right, so Janice Garcia is very, very excited today. She posted a video of Derek Jeter on her Instagram story.
Janice is a gigantic Yankees fan,
yes,
by the way.
And tagged Derek Jeter in it. And Derek Jeter liked it.
Really?
It's really?
A huge, huge deal for her. Not only that, she posted a picture of her saying, look, Derek Jeter liked my tweet or Instagram story, and he liked that too.
Wow.
So big moment for Janice Garcia. So the question is, who is the biggest name that has liked a tweet of yours? Tweet, because I don't think you use Instagram.
Chance the Rapper once
Whoa.
Liked a tweet I had when I said that What Up With That is the best sketch in SNL history. Chance the Rapper liked that tweet. Very big day in my life. Huge day in my life, actually.
Two things come to mind. One time I was on the air talking about Alex McKechnie, who is a... in the NBA, Alex is an expert. He's the guy that cleared up Shaq's abdomen. He does core neutral, which is this big, you know, he's out there with rubber bands, and
right.
he's a physical therapist to the stars, basically. And I was explaining what Alex does, and Phil Jackson was starting to tweet a little bit, and he tweeted, John Ireland's right about Alex McKechnie, huge difference maker.
Nice.
And I thought, wow, that's good. Ooh. And then another time, a friend of mine sent me a picture of a fire lane. It said fire lane, and somebody spray painted Kiffin after it, so it said Fire Lane Kiffin at USC, and I just sent it out, and Keith Olbermann retweeted it.
Oh no! That's
and basically,
KO.
then you know he's got like a goofy following.
That ruin your week.
And so all those people got into my world, but
nice.
Those are the two that popped into my head. Bergman, like, did anyone retweet your claim
A
pistachio is the not being able to open a nut is the worst thing
who
ever?
Didn't Clayton Kershaw did?
Yeah,
you
right.
know.
Right.
LeBron James did. It was a huge, huge moment.
What's up with that?
That's
What's
a great
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I'm right about that being the best SNL sketch of all time.
It is.
Let's
a fantastic
just be clear
sketch.
About that. But
so, do we need to play the cowbell sketch for Clinton?
Not as good. What up with that is the funniest.
Oh, no. Thing. I love that. And I love.
They should make a movie out of What Up With That.
I love Sudeikis dancing.
Sudeikis
is
the best.
In the jumpsuit, in the tracksuit.
Right.
But If you've never seen Will Ferrell and Christopher Walken do the cowbell sketch, if you can keep a straight face after watching that, then I got a fever. Thing that'll cure it is more cowbell.
It's a great one. It's a great sketch. They should make a movie out of What Up With That, though.
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
They had that run, Greg, where they were making movies out of every other sketch on SNL.
Yeah.
Don't know how What Up With That didn't get a movie.
Oh, they absolutely should make
Not happy about that.
Jorge, well, you had
I'm
one?
I'm trying to think of it. Has Kenan Thompson... Okay, come on, man.
You guys, this isn't that funny to me. I mean, like, it's funny, but, like, my favorite Will Ferrell is Robert Goulet, just so we know. Goulet! He went on the Tonight
Harry
Show Carey's as Goulet
way better.
Once.
Yeah, he's Harry Carey is great. Goulet. Will Ferrell's Goulet Harry Carey is outstanding.
Wait, Jorge, you have one?
Oh, yeah, Julio Cesar Chavez. Posted a picture of him with Tyson and whatnot, and he ended up liking it. Not just liking it, he follows me now. Julio Cesar Chavez follows me.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
By the way, I see him out at the Sunset Room.
T-minus 11 minutes, Bergman, to the trade deadline.
Yeah, nothing's happening.
Bobcat.
All right,
doesn't seem like it.
Okay, so I drive by this building every time, and I've never been to it. Walt Disney Concert Hall. Have you guys ever been there?
Spectacular building.
No.
I've been inside one time.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's great inside, too.
Where
even
is it?
In the outside, yeah.
It's like a mile from here.
But where?
Downtown. Like,
What else is in here?
Just the concert hall, right, John?
It's if you were to drive into downtown, like where all the height of the right where you get on the 101 off of downtown, it's right there on the right.
Okay. That futuristic like metal.
Oh,
building.
That's what that is.
That's,
okay,
yeah, that's
all right. Yeah, I got you.
But I've never been there. Like,
me
is
neither.
There any other venue you've never been to, John?
What's that?
Is there any other venue you've never been? Like, I mean, you've been there, but is there anything in LA that I haven't been to?
I've never been to the Getty Center. I drive by it a lot, but I've never been inside it.
Really?
I wouldn't mind going to that. Yeah, have you?
Yeah, the Getty is beautiful.
You know, they have, like, a multi-million-dollar security system there that if the mountain – it's on top of a mountain. And if the mountain catches fire, because they have millions and millions of dollars of artwork in there, immediately a fireproof enclosure goes over the dome. And you so everything around it would burn, but the Getty wouldn't burn.
I actually knew that. Fun fact, the one venue I hadn't been to – up until Saturday, was the Rose Bowl for a game. So that was...
And now you may never go back.
That was new. I'm going back.
One way in, one way out.
You can walk.
I'm going back.
Janice is in there going, nope, net. I've seen it, been there, done that.
I love the Rose Bowl. It is beautiful. It's a great place to see a game.
Bobcat.
All right, we're going to move on. UCLA, and speaking of the Rose Bowl, UCLA and Under Armour had a 15-year, $280 million contract.
Yeah, at the time they signed it, Greg, it was the richest... contract for any school on a merchandising deal in the whole country, and the reason why they never paid it. They went to court over.
Let me ask you about. Go ahead, all right, Greg. Finish the story.
All right, Under Armour pulled out of the deal and forced UCLA to go to Jordan Brand, which is a way better thing for them anyway. So now, after 6 years of arguing, they have settled on just under $68 million. After UCLA was looking for $200 million, who got the better end of the deal here?
Under Armour. I mean, they promised to pay all that money and just basically welched on the deal.
Yeah, but if you're UCLA, you get the money back that literally takes your athletic department out of debt. That is part of that story. Martin Jorman, incredible job out of him. And B, you don't have to be with Under Armour. You get Jordan Brand.
Right.
Like, it's a double win in that part. So I didn't realize that the breakup that they had, I hadn't occurred to me that it was that there was that much animosity.
Oh, it was a lot.
I realized that it was a problem, but I sort of thought UCLA was going to take that as, all right, well, we're with Nike anyway. I didn't realize they were still in court over this. This is a massive win for UCLA.
By the way, breaking news update. The Angels have just traded Noah Syndergaard to the Phillies.
Oh, so the Phillies are officially making moves.
Right. They're
Which
trying,
is weird
they're trying
they
fi- to win
they fired
now.
Their manager earlier
Among
this
year. The people that the Angels got back in this deal is a guy named Mickey Moniak, who was the number one overall pick in the entire baseball draft a few years ago. They're also getting a second prospect. So the Angels are all in on selling. They traded Brandon Walsh, and now they've traded Noah Syndergaard.
Got another deal that just came through.
Okay.
Robert Murray says the Toronto Blue Jays are acquiring right-hander Mitchell White.
Really?
From the Dodgers for minor league pitchers.
Wow, why?
Yeah, okay. I'm a little bit surprised by this one, too. But I mean, Mitch White. Maybe they're moving Mitch White because he's gonna have. They're gonna get somebody else.
We should keep an eye on the next 2 minutes or next eight minutes.
Yeah, why don't we call Mace?
Something's
gonna
happen. You only move Mitch White if you're gonna bring in
correct
another pitcher.
Unless
you
know
Mitch
you're
down
getting Dustin May or Walker Buehler back for sure, because yes, Mitch White has been good. Yeah,
it's a little surprising.
Something's up here.
I'm a little surprised by that one, too.
Something's up here. Are you got one more, Greg, or not?
Bobcat.
Sure, why not? Do you want me to do something about Subway sandwiches or kick it off the planet?
Kick it off the planet.
Kick it off the planet. This one's very, very difficult. I wanted Mason to be here, but it's okay. Matthew Stafford or Aaron Donald?
All right, that is, wow, that's a good one. Because Clinton, as we've talked about on many, many occasions, if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not winning the Super
Stafford
Bowl.
Stafford way more replaceable than Donald. No, that's an easy one for me. Easy one for me.
You don't win the Super Bowl without Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
You don't win the Super Bowl without Matthew Stafford. You don't even get out of Tampa without Matthew Stafford.
Or a dime a dozen.
So which
dudes
one is
like
it, John?
Aaron Donald or not?
Oh, man. So we're going with the wolf
Or you got to go find someone else.
Yeah, well, I mean, you say he's imminently replaceable. With who? Who are you replacing Matthew Stafford with?
Any of the top five quarterbacks in the league?
No, but you
maybe
have to
the
go.
Other guy who's a quarterback in Los Angeles?
Yeah, trade. But wait a minute. You've got to trade for him, and the Chargers aren't trading Justin Herbert.
I get that,
Herbert.
But I'm just saying in the theoretical concept of kicking somebody off the planet, you're
right,
not finding another
Aaron
Donald.
All right, so Matthew Stafford, God forbid, retires today. Okay? Who's your quarterback?
I don't know, but that's not what we're talking about here. I didn't realize Kick It Off the Planet had legitimate NFL transaction rules.
Oh, no.
To what we're
absolutely
doing.
Just pick one.
This is a real Kick It Off the Planet.
I picked Donald. Yes, I'm not kicking Donald off the planet.
Having said all this, Clinton's right.
Yeah, what?
You can't replace Aaron Donald. He's irreplaceable. As much as I would hate to give up Matthew. By the way, the stupid question, Bergman, is going to cost us from getting Kelly Stafford on her birthday when we're at Rams camp tomorrow.
But I would kick him off the planet.
Yeah, we just kicked him off the planet for no reason.
Maybe I'll have to show up and, you know, offer it, break bread. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever you
got to
do.
Yeah. All right. I'm 5 minutes left. I don't understand this Mitch White trade. I think something else is coming.
Okay. I mean, maybe.
Don't you, Greg?
I do.
I don't think it's much more complicated than maybe we know Dustin May's coming back. I mean, if you get something else for it.
Maybe.
I don't think it has to be that serious, but, you know, you'll never know. We'll see.
All right. Coming up next, we will get into the entire day in Major League Baseball trading. The deadline is 4 minutes, 25 seconds. Back with it after this on the ESPN LA Lakers Radio Network.